You have heard this story hundreds of times, probably. And the problem when we've heard things so many times is we stop listening. We just tune out. And so I want to invite you to listen as if you're hearing this for the very first time. Maybe even close your eyes so you can focus on the words. I'm reading from Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, beginning in verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and on earth peace to those on whom his favor rests." This is the word of the Lord. So tomorrow morning, there will be a ridiculous amount of gifts exchanged in this country. And if you think about it, every time a gift is given, there's really a transaction that takes place involving two parties, right? Not to suck all the magic out of Christmas, but it's true. There's a giver and there's a receiver. And it seems to me that usually at Christmas time, our focus is on the receiver. Just think what will play out around countless Christmas trees tomorrow. Many gifts will be given, and many cell phones will be set to video mode, and most of those cell phones will be focused on the one opening the gift, right? I mean, that's how it was for us when our kids were little, although back then it was camcorder. Remember camcorders? Remember that? Did you charge the battery all night, honey? You know, so it's a little bit easier now, but we would focus the camera on the receiver because you wanted to see the facial expression and the joy and the surprise of the person receiving the gift. Many of you will be filming the receiver tomorrow. But this thought struck me not too long ago. I wonder if by focusing on the receiver all the time, we might be missing out on something really good. If you think back to the giving of the original Christmas gift, the giving of Jesus in the account that we just read, there was a little bit of focus on the receiver, right? The shepherds and how terrified they were and then how excited they were to go and see the newborn Jesus. But I'm saying to you that if I were there and if I could somehow be teleported back into that moment and if I could still have my cell phone in my pocket, you know, when I showed up there, and if I had a choice whether to focus my camera on the ground or the sky, whether to film the shepherds or the angels, I'm just telling you, I'd go with the angels. Because by focusing on the angels, you begin to get a glimpse of how passionate God is about giving. So much so, he was so excited about what he was doing that he sent this massive choir of angels to just explode into song to celebrate this moment, this giving of this gift. That's what I would video if I could keep from shaking. And every time I'd go back and watch that video, it would be a reminder to me that God is a giver. I mean, that's what he does. Giving is what he's into. That's just who he is. In fact, probably the most famous Bible verse in the world is John 3:16, right? And it starts out, "For God so loved the world that he," everybody, "that he gave." Because when you love, you give. When God loved us, because he loves us, he gave to us. Because at his core, God is a giver, not a taker. So there's this passage in the New Testament, in the book of James, that says, "Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters," because it's easy to start thinking wrongly about God and think that he's more into taking than giving. But it says, "Don't be deceived, brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." You hear what that's saying about God? When we start to understand that and believe that, it changes the way we feel about life. So I want to show you a picture up here. This is one of the highlights from my last summer. I got invited to officiate a wedding of a young couple, a great young couple named Brianne and Nick. And the wedding took place in the month of June And it took place out in the mountains of Colorado, actually in Keystone, Colorado. So we had to get to the wedding venue, we had to take two separate gondola rides to get to the top of this mountain. It was about 12,000 feet in altitude. And I just remember being pretty much in this moment that you're looking at. And I remember having kind of one of those out-of-body experiences. You know, when you talk a lot and lead a lot of things, sometimes you can kind of take yourself out of it and kind of look at what's going on. Like right now, I'm out of my body looking at this right now. What's happening right here? And I remember at that wedding, I was looking at it and I was thinking, the sun's shining down on us. We're surrounded by snow in June. And I remember listening to this string quartet and listening to this opera singer sing and getting to lead this wedding and this beautiful ceremony and just thinking to myself, this is amazing. Don't forget this moment. I mean, can't you just from looking at that picture, can't you just see the joy that's taking place in that moment? This guy, I hear you. So here's my question to you. Where did that come from? Was that just a random product of a mechanical universe? Absolutely not. I am convinced that God in heaven was up there saying, man, wait till they open up this. Like a dad watching his kids open up presents on Christmas morning, saying, man, wait till they open this one. God takes joy in giving. But it's not just the weddings. It's not just the big events. Every day, God is saying, here's air for your lungs. Here's food for your body. Here are friends for companionship. Here's music for your ears. Here's beauty for your eyes. In so many different ways that we normally miss, God is giving. It's just who he is. So don't be deceived. God is not a taker. He's a giver. And the thing that made that first Christmas night so amazing was that God got to give the gift that he'd been saving up, the best gift that he had been holding back until then, a Savior who would come into this world and would show us how life was meant to be lived, and a Savior who, even more importantly, would go to a cross and absorb the justice that we deserve, the judgment we deserve for all the ways that we haven't lived the way that we're supposed to live. And God was so excited to give that gift. He had anticipated it for so long that he sent this choir of angels to fill the night sky with song and announce this gift, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. So how do we respond when we recognize the generosity of God? Let me just suggest two really practical ways, and these are very relevant for Christmas. You can put these into action tonight and tomorrow. So here we go, two ways that we can respond. First, let the generosity of God make you content. Oh, man, that would just change everything, wouldn't it? Let the generosity of God make you content. You know why that's so important at Christmas? Because in our culture, we have built up Christmas so much. There are so many expectations we have. This is why there are so many cranky people on December 26th, because something didn't go exactly the way you hoped it would go on Christmas. But this Christmas, would you let the generosity of God make you completely content? Paul the Apostle said, I've learned the secret of being content in any and every circumstance. And so this Christmas, you're going to be so filled with the generosity of God that even if the food, your favorite food, burns and it sets off the smoke alarm, you're still going to be able to be content. Even if people in your house don't get along perfectly, you're still going to be able to be content. Even if the best gift you receive this year is earthworm jerky, you're just going to be content anyway. Even if you wake up tomorrow morning and you have a cold or you have a sinus infection, you're going to be content. And I'm not saying that you'll enjoy those things, of course not, but you'll be able to step back and laugh at those things. Because compared to the goodness and generosity of God, especially the giving of Christ, man, what are those things in comparison? So this Christmas, would you do the people around you a favor instead of being demanding and exacting in particular that everything's got to be just so? Would you allow the generosity of God to make you so content that nothing can touch it? Secondly, and finally, let the generosity of God make you, ready? Generous. Let God's generosity make you generous. Remember Jesus said, it's more blessed to give than receive. And I love how that's phrased. He doesn't say, God commands you to give and not receive. He doesn't say, it's morally superior to give than receive. I don't know why that would be an English accent, but God, Jesus didn't say it like that. He said it's more blessed. You'll be happier. You'll be a better person to be around. You'll be a better human being if you're into giving more than taking. So what does that mean for you? What would it mean for you to be a giver? You probably have some time off from school and work this next week or so. What would it mean for you to let God's generosity make you generous? I'll bet if you think of your life, there's someone in your circles who's struggling physically. Maybe they've been sick. Maybe they just had surgery. Anybody come into mind? Or maybe there's someone in your life who is feeling isolated and lonely. Maybe just divorced. Maybe they just became a widow or a widower. And the thing is, around Christmas, yeah, we have time off, but we tend to be so filled up with activities that we just miss those people. But this year, because of God's generosity to you, you're going to have your eyes open to those people, and you're going to be giving to them what they need. You know, I think for a lot of people, what they need is just your presence. They need your love. I figured this out a long time ago as a pastor. I can work for 40 hours on a sermon. I can preach what I think is the greatest message of all time, and within a week, everyone pretty much forgets about it. But if someone's in the hospital and I go spend 15 minutes with them, 10 years later, they'll remember it. Pastor Dave, I remember when you came to the hospital. What people remember, what people need the most is the gift of our presence, our love, our respect, our time. Who in your life needs that from you this Christmas? Or maybe it's something else. Would you have the courage to pray, Lord, open my eyes to those around me in need, and make me a person who gives of myself to them. You know, Jesus said that to be my disciple, you have to become like little children. And I have found that some of the most breathtaking acts of generosity are actually done by children. Watch this.
This year for Christmas, what are you hoping to get?
A computer.
Big, giant Barbie house.
A trophy case.
An Xbox 360.
Minecraft Legos.
What do you think your mom or dad want for Christmas?
My mom would probably want a ring. She's never really had a ring.
Jewelry. She loves jewelry.
A new TV.
Like watches.
So, we actually did buy an Xbox 360.
What in the world? I wanted this!
Okay, and you really got this for me?
A new laptop.
Wow. And
it's a necklace.
So we also bought a necklace because you said you also wanted to get a necklace for your mom or your auntie. The catch is that you can either get a gift for yourself,
huh?
Or you can pick a gift for your mom and dad. I need you to pick one. Now before you answer, oh, I bet that's hard. Is that a really hard question?
Mm-hmm.
What gift do you pick?
I choose this.
I gotta go with the ring.
What gift do you pick?
That one.
That one.
The dress.
I'll choose this for my mom.
I'll choose this one.
It's a really tough question.
I'll give him this.
You already know? Tell me why.
Because Legos don't matter. Lego, your family matters. Not Legos, not toys, your family. So it's either family or Legos, and I choose family.
I get gifts every year from my family, and my mom don't get anything.
If I get a laptop, my mama will get something. She helps me when I'm sick. She helps me with my homework.
She gave me a house to live in.
They look out for me and do stuff for me, so I need to give back to them.
Now I have the opportunity to give them something.
Because you actually picked the gift for your family, you're actually going to go home with both. Tell me how you're feeling.
I'm feeling really happy and
why?
Thankful.
Just happy. Thankful.
For your family? For what?
My family, everything.
He did make his decision, actually. And
oh
he
goodness.
Picked the Pandora charms.
Oh, that is sweet. You're gonna make me cry.
So what are you gonna give to me?
Angel.
Oh, it's for me? Oh, it's for you.
Dave.
guys.
I was going to.
The greatest act of generosity of all time happens 2,000 years ago in a little town called Bethlehem. This Christmas, would you let the generosity of God make you content and make you generous?